So the title of my talk today is A Different Kind of Nest Egg. And I'm talking about putting our trust and our faith in that one infinite presence. Putting our trust and our faith in that order and that good and that intelligence of the universe. And then when we do that, letting go of our fear and our doubt and our fretting and our concern and our worry, and instead trusting in that one presence, trusting that we live and move and have our beingness within that one, and that that one lives in us all of the time. Because when we do that, what happens is then we draw more good to ourselves. Because life is a reflection of our consciousness and what we believe and what we think. And so I know that every single one of us in this room has things that we would like to do, things that we would like to experience. Perhaps for you, it's having a new job that would fit your personality, or that uses your own unique gifts and talents in a way that serves the world and in a way that is totally fulfilling to you in return. Or perhaps it's about having a romantic relationship, having someone in your life that loves you, having a relationship that is filled with love, that is nurturing and kind and supportive. Or perhaps it's about having enough money so that you can travel, and so that you can go and explore new lands that you've never seen before. We all have something that we would like to experience and do. And in addition to that, we also have this need and this longing to know that our needs will be met and to live in peace and in ease around that. What happens, though, is we often get stuck if that thing that we want, that area of our lives, is not flowing. We feel stuck and we get stuck. Like maybe you aren't finding that new job, or your career path isn't becoming clear to you what that looks like, even though you're applying for jobs. Or perhaps that relationship just isn't seeming to show up for you, even though you're doing Match.com and even though you're going on dates. Or maybe you don't have enough money yet, say, for that vacation, and spring break is right around the corner, and that's when you wanted to go on vacation. What happens then when that thing isn't showing up quickly enough for us is we start fretting, and we start worrying, and we start thinking, maybe this is never going to happen. And then we think, maybe I just need to try harder. Maybe I just need to figure this out. And we become more anxious, and we become more stressed out. And the more we fret, and the more we worry, the more we feel like we need to control what's going on around us. And then the tighter we become, the tighter our bodies become, and the tighter our breathing becomes, and the tighter our thinking becomes, because we're fretting about that thing, and we can't figure it out. The reason that we start fretting and worrying like that is because we are solely and wholly looking through the eyes of our ego self, that limited part of ourself that thinks that we must rely on our own limited resources. We are looking through that lens that says we have to figure this out with our current knowledge. And that current knowledge is most often based on our past experiences and the conclusions we've drawn about those past experiences and the story we're telling ourselves because of that. It's relying on the part of ourselves that thinks we have to figure it out from that limited past experience and perspective. We have forgotten that we live in a spiritual universe, that one that Carol read about this morning. We have forgotten that we live in that omnipresence. We have forgotten that we live in this sea of opulent good, that this reservoir of infinite good is right at the center of our lives. We've forgotten that in those moments. And so one of the great mystics was studying the different traditions of his people, and one of his friends jokingly said to him, "I will give you one gold coin if you can tell me where God lives." And the monk replied back to him, "I will give you two gold coins if you tell me where God does not live." We've forget that. We forget that God is right at the center of our lives. And so what happens is then we get into the doubt and we get into the fear and we get into worry, and it blocks that flow of the good from coming into our lives. Because that worry and that doubt and that fear is unlike the truth with a capital T. So it's like oil and water. That water can't get into the oil. The oil can't get into the water because they're two disparate things. We're unlike that presence of good when we are in worry and doubt and concern. So the good can't flow into our lives because we are blocking it. That's what Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, means when he says God can do for us only what God can do through us. We have to be like that which we are desiring in consciousness in order to allow it into our life. We have to be like that in our thinking and in our feeling to enable that to flow into our lives freely. And so sometimes when we are feeling stuck like that in our lives and that thing doesn't seem to be happening fast enough or quick enough, people that we know or friends of us will say things like, let go and let God. Or they'll say, trust the process. Or trust life. I had somebody ask me this week what I thought about the phrase, God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I think those are all pretty much saying the same thing. And from a metaphysical perspective, what they're saying is we have to get out of our own way to let that which is greater come into our lives. Specifically, we have to get our doubt and our worry and our fear and our concern out of the way, our little thinking out of the way, so something greater can come flowing into our lives. So that one creative principle, that one infinite intelligence of the universe can bring our good to us by means that we don't even have to figure out, so that can unfold in our lives. And so I'm not sure what the person meant that said that to her, God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves, but that's how I interpret it from a metaphysical perspective. How I do not interpret it is that there is some big guy in the sky that's going to fix things for us. Because there is no big guy in the sky. There is just this infinite presence and power that we live in that is a presence and power of opulence and of good and of intelligence and of order and of harmony that we live in and that lives in us. And so when we remember that, we trust in that intelligence. We trust that it is capable, that intelligence is capable of bringing that thing into our lives, even if we don't know how, even if we don't have the solution. We trust and let go into that can orchestrate things in our life, that intelligence and that power can bring it into our lives. Do you know what a cowbird is? Cowbirds are these medium-sized brown birds that eat insects. And so what they do, because they are insect eaters, is they follow herds of cows, because the cows stir up the bugs as they go along the ground, and they get all these bugs to eat. Well, what cowbirds do, because they follow those herds to eat all those insects, is they lay their eggs in some other bird's nest. And so what they do is they sit and watch and wait for a bird to lay its eggs. And then when it leaves the nest, they swoop in and lay their egg. And then they leave, they wait, they watch, they make sure that it's not going to be rejected. And then they go on with the herd. Isn't that amazing? And you know what's even more amazing? Those babies do the same thing when they become adults. How do you think that happens? Do you think they remember being laid in that nest, therefore I'm going to do the same thing when I get older? Do you think they read about how to do it? Do you think one of their friends told them how to do it? Do you think they figured it out in their brain? How am I going to do this and follow this herd of cows still? Do you think they fretted and they worried about how this is going to happen? There is an intelligence that is supporting them in their thriving. They don't have to figure it out. That intelligence that supports them in their thriving is innate to their beingness. It's innate to their lives. It's innate to who they are as cowbirds. It's built in. That's what I call the activity of God. That's what I call infinite intelligence. That's what Ernest Holmes is talking about when he says mind, the science of mind. We live in this mind. That's the consciousness that we live in. And so in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes speaks to this. He says, the mystics have taught us that there is but one ultimate reality. Capital ultimate, capital reality. There is but one ultimate reality. And this ultimate reality is here now. If we could but see it. The great mystics have been illumined. They have seen through the veil of matter and perceived the spiritual universe. They have taught that the kingdom of God is now present and needs but to be realized. We already live in the kingdom. It is right here, but it's only here as we realize it, as we know that it is present, as we recognize it, as we turn to it, as we trust in it. That is how it is made real. Then we draw the good to us because that's our new consciousness. And so we are called to realize or to make real the fact that we live and move and have our beingness in this field of infinite good. In this sea of opulence, we're being called to know and to remember and to make real that that presence guides our footsteps and leads us into paths of opulence and into thriving and into living our best lives, just like those cowbirds, that our needs are met. But it happens when we know it. It requires us. That's the God doing for us what God can do through us. We have to get our thinking in alignment with that. So we are called to know that that infinite intelligence that permeates all things is filling our lives. We are being called to know that that is the very ground of beingness itself, and that is the ground of our being. That is the core of our lives. That is who we are, what we are, and the very nature of our life. We are being called to know that that is the center of all things and the center of our life. That intelligence that orchestrates the planets and keeps them in their orbits, that intelligence that acts as migratory impulse within animals, that intelligence that tells a tomato seed how to grow into a tomato plant, the intelligence that makes the food you ate this morning turn into bone and muscle and tissue and hair and fingernails. Do you know how to do that? You don't have to know how to do that. We just trust that our breakfast is going to turn into that. You don't have to know all the details of the how. You just trust. The trusting makes it so. So allowing God to do for us then means trusting. It means having faith. It means living from that knowingness inside of us, leaning in and trusting that infinite intelligence to unfold as the orchestration of things coming into place for our thriving and for our good. It means trusting that that infinite intelligence will bring about our desired good. Trusting that the nature of God is to express as greater and greater good and in greater and greater ways. That's what we lean into when we find ourselves in fear. That's what we lean into when things aren't falling into place as quickly as they would like. That's the thing that creates the shift in consciousness. Your faith in that makes it so. Your faith in that activates the law. And so do you know who Harper Lee is? American author. Yes. Harper Lee says, I love this. It's not time to worry yet. What if we lived from there? It's not time to worry yet. No matter where you are, it's not time to worry yet. What if it was that simple? What if we lived in that attitude? What if we trusted in that it's not time to worry yet, and then we just trusted life? Trusted life to unfold as our greater good. What if we remember that it's not time to worry yet, and then we trusted, we had faith that there is a beneficent presence that fills this universe and wants nothing other than for us to thrive and be fulfilled and live a rich and satisfying life. That's what we came to planet Earth for, not to struggle and strain. So what if we knew that? What if that was our nest egg? And so my invitation to you is to trust in that, to put your faith and your attention and your energy there, this infinite presence that desires only for me to thrive. I'm going to lean into that and sit there and let go of my worry and let go of my struggle. And then trust in that, and then listen to your inner guidance. Listen to your intuition. Listen to your heartfelt longings and desires. They're leading you into that light of life of greater good. That's the voice of the divine speaking to you, so there can be no other way. Affirm to yourself that that infinite intelligence of the universe thinks my thoughts and guides my footsteps and leads me into my greatest fulfillment. I invite you to repeat that after me. The intelligence of the universe thinks my thoughts.
The
guides my footsteps,
and
leads me into my greatest fulfillment. And how about this one? God is for me, therefore nothing can be against me. God is for me, therefore nothing can be against me. And how about life is for me, therefore nothing can be against me. Life is for me, therefore nothing can be against me. And how about this one? Everything is now working on my behalf. Everything is now working on my behalf. Use your affirmations. Read some inspiring thing that's written by someone who has a great realization of the presence of God. You've only forgotten. You know it. You just have to remind yourself that you know it. Your ego doesn't know it. Your spirit knows it because it is it. You just have to get back in alignment with the part of yourself that remembers. Ernest Holmes says, for every fear, we must find a faith. We must substitute uncertainty for certainty. We just have to get our thinking there. And so today we remember that we are never separate or apart from that infinite life, from that infinite intelligence, from that sea of good. We're never separate from it. We remember that that one presence and intelligence and love is active in our life, always as our life. We remember that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. That's simply the nature of God unfolding itself. We remember that that's God's nature, and we trust in life, and we trust in the good, and we build that nest egg. And so blessings to you as you walk this path of remembering and of stepping into your greatest life and of bringing that divine presence forward through your thinking and through your heart and through your actions and through your hands, and for being a blessing in this world and for being a blessing in your own life. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so how good it is to just simply take our attention off of this material world and instead to turn to that omnipresence, to that one infinite presence and power, of the good itself that is everywhere present, that one presence and power that permeates everything in this entire universe with its allness, with its fullness, with all that it is, all the good, all the love, all the peace, all the wholeness, all the intelligence that it is everywhere present. Every single point in space and every single point in our lives, that presence is present within our hearts and within our minds, and within our bodies, and within our homes, within our places of work, everywhere we go, we walk in this presence and with this presence. And this presence fills us, for we are it in expression. We are emanations of that one, and our life is an emanation of that life of God. And so today we walk in this awareness of oneness, knowing that we can never be separate. And in this awareness and in this knowingness, that one comes flooding into our lives in a way that is so tremendous, that is so magnificent, that fills our life with blessings beyond measure. Because here we are clear conduits. Here in our thinking, in our openness, in our recognition of our oneness with it, we are like that. And like attracts like. And so today, blessings abound in our lives. Blessings of perfect opportunities and of perfect work and of perfect harmonious and beautiful loving relationships, as opportunities for creative expression and opportunities for discovering this magnificent planet that we live on. All of this is unfolding itself today in our lives. How good it is. And so we just celebrate this magnificence. We celebrate this good. We celebrate this life of the divine that is beauty itself. And so it is with a grateful heart that I release this prayer into that creative womb of the universe, knowing that it is already unfolding itself because we have stepped into the truth here today. And so it unfolds itself now and now and in the next moment and in the next moment. How good it is. And so I release this prayer and I say, thank you, God. And so it is.